Well, dear friends, I've got to tell you what a joy it is for me to stand here and be with you and worship with you today. And I get a double blessing. Not only do I get to worship with you, but I actually get the privilege of being your preacher today. You know, we Americans are strange people, don't you think? Stop and think about it a moment. It's Labor Day. Oh, let's take it off. Let's celebrate labor by doing nothing. Well, we need to do that from time to time, don't we? We do need. Jesus taught us the importance of coming apart for a while and resting up and being refreshed and being renewed and being restored. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. And that's what Pastor Bill is doing also. So we're grateful for that. As you heard, I'm serving a small little congregation. We're trying to get established and get going down in Tempe. It is also a Presbyterian church, a member of the Eco family, and it's actually been down there and going on for about 10 years, but it's gone through some difficult time. The pandemic did a lot of damage as far as keeping people away, and you all know about that as well. But what is really interesting is that this spring, it's a much younger congregation, and they're just as afraid of the pandemic as we old-timers are, so it's really been amazing. But if you think about me from time to time, say a prayer for me and for the spring. And I have to make a confession this morning. I'm going to practice on you because I got to go preach there later this afternoon. And so if it really is bad, you'll know that I have a chance to kind of tweak it and get it better for this afternoon. So hang in there. You know, day in and day out, you and I are constantly inundated with words, voices coming at us. Do this, do that, go here, go there, buy this car, live in this house, purchase this product, wear these clothes, invest in this great venture. Buy this insurance. Follow this diet. Adhere to this message. Follow our philosophy. And as the great theologian Sonny and Cher said, and the beat goes on. We hear that day in and day out on our television, on our radio, on billboards, in magazines. Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual author who's now in heaven, makes the following observation about the myriad of voices that are calling out to us. Maybe you can identify with some of these voices he mentions. I quote, "There's a voice that says to us, prove that you're a good person. Another voice says, you should be ashamed of yourself. There's also a voice that says, nobody really cares about you. And one that says, be sure to become successful, popular, and powerful. But underneath all these often very noisy voices, you will find a still small voice that will say to you, you are my beloved. My favor rests upon you. And that is the voice we need most of all to hear. But to hear that voice, says Henry Nouwen, requires special effort. It requires solitude and silence and a strong determination to listen and to pay attention." Well, Henry was right. Amid the clamoring voices of all these other words and voices that we're hearing, Jesus speaks to us. I hope you heard that statement by people that Eileen read for us in our first reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. The context of that passage, this is beginning his ministry. It's his very first sermon. And after he preaches the sermon and sits down, I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I hope you did, but let me draw it to your attention. Here's what the people said. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. If you will jump through the four Gospels and pay attention to what people said about the words of Jesus, it might amaze you. And even what Jesus himself says about his own words. Let me give you a sampling. In Luke 4:32, just following the passage that she read for us, it says this: they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. And in John 6:63, Jesus says to the people, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and full of life. Catch that. The words of Jesus are full of life. In John 6:68, Simon Peter gave a response back to Jesus after Jesus had made one of his astounding comments to his disciples. And Peter replies in John 6:68 with this: Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In John 8:51, Jesus says this: very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. In John 14:24, Jesus says this about his words: these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. God is telling, or Jesus is telling us, that he is actually speaking the words of God. And this final one that I'll share with you, and there are a bunch more. But in Matthew 24 and verse 35, listen to this astounding statement about the words of Jesus. Jesus himself said this: heaven and earth will pass away. Now, when he talks about heaven passing away, he's talking about the heavens above where the clouds are and the airplanes fly. Heavens and earth, the heaven and the earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's an astounding statement to think that Jesus' words carry such power. They're gracious. They're inspiring. They're uplifting. They're life-giving. They're eternal. May I ask you a question this morning? What voice that you hear on a day-to-day basis has the most influence on you? What voice are you listening to intently? What voice is forming and shaping your life, your attitudes? Make no mistake, my dear friends, you and I are listening to words, to voices, and we're gauging our life accordingly. And Jesus is saying to all of us this morning, hear my words. Hear my words above all the other words that are being spoken to you, because my words will bring life. And I thought about that. I thought about the power of his words spoken. Now, you know, and I know, we're not just talking about individual words. It's not that Jesus' words are so wonderful because the way in which he enunciates them. He's not saying to us that his words are wonderful because with the Middle Eastern brogue that he would state it them in is so wonderful that everyone says, oh, isn't that a nice word? You know, if you're like me, I'm partial to the British accent. I think those British people can say anything, and it just sounds thrilling. With that brogue that they have, let's all go to the fellowship hall and have some coffee. And it would sound wonderful for a Brit to say that. That's not what we're talking about when we are saying that the words of Jesus are beautiful and powerful and uplifting and inspiring. No, let's use another term without doing any injustice to the word word. What is really meant there is the message of Jesus. Or let me say it this way. It's the teaching of Jesus that we're talking about here. What the people were amazed with was his teaching. What the people found stunning was that Jesus said to them, my teaching will never pass away and will lead you into eternal life. That's what he's talking about. And so as I continue to think about that in preparation for coming to speak to you today, I thought, I'm wondering if I could take the message of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, and because I'm only given a limited period of time, could I squeeze it down into four statements that describes what Jesus is getting at when he tells us this is his message to us, we need to sit up and take notice. So I'm going to try. Now, please keep in mind that the four things I'm going to share with you before we close our service is not exhaustive. I'm simply trying to point out to you what the message of Jesus is really saying to you and me in a nice summarized fashion. And we could add so much more. And what I hope you will do is after you hear my four thoughts, you'll go home today, and after lunch, maybe as you're sitting there resting, you'll begin to think, how might you add to what I've just shared with your understanding and knowledge of the Scripture? So let's begin. I want you to hear the word of Jesus. And the first word that Jesus speaks to us is this, that you and I have a God who loves us, created us with meaning and a purpose. That's the first thing I want to say to you. Jesus taught us when he came that there is a God of love, who has created you and me with meaning and a purpose. Now, let me quickly unpack that statement for you. I want you to notice that we have a God who loves. You know what that means? That means that your very existence right now, as I look across this and point at you, your very existence is a visible demonstration that God loves you, because when God created the human race, when God created his creation, he created you and me and everybody else in this world out of the heart of love. Please don't think that God created people because he was lonely and he needed a few other people in his life. That's what we call stinking thinking theologically. It's not true. You see, our God is triune. He is complete and perfect and full in himself. He needs no one. No one else can contribute to his well-being. No one else can make him better than what he already is. No, my dear friends, he didn't create you and me because he was lonely and he wanted you and me to kind of bring some fulfillment and companionship and friendship to him. No, no, no. He created you simply because his heart of love wanted to do that, because that's what love does. Love creates. Love gives. Love shares. And so here you are. And so you're here. And you exist, as do your neighbors and your fellow citizens here in this community and around the world, simply because God loved you and created you and brought you into existence. But he also created you with meaning and a purpose. You see, God does not make junk. So everything that God creates is wonderful and beautiful. I know you know this, but from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, and all in between, you will discover that the Bible again and again repeatedly points out the fact that God is our creator. God is our creator. God is our creator. Now, please keep in mind, the Bible does not tell us how creation came about, but it does tell us who created. So I want to stand before you and say, I don't know what your theory of creation is. I don't know what your theory of the beginning of life is. And I don't really care. So long as you're able to look at me and say, but I know behind it all was God's creative activity. God is the creator. And because he makes no junk, that means you are a special part of his creative activity. You see, one of the beefs I have with atheistic views of creation and the beginning of life is that atheistic views, who writes God off, says that you and I and our beautiful world is a cosmic accident. And if we're cosmic accidents, then it's no wonder we can mistreat one another. It's no wonder we can abuse one another. It's no wonder that we can steal from one another and beat up one another. We're just accidents trying to survive. And so we got to grab all the gusto we can and step on whoever we might in order to get to wherever we need to be. But that's not the way the Bible teaches us. And Jesus wants you to know that you are a person with meaning and purpose. What is your meaning and purpose in life? It's to know God. It's to enjoy him. Did you know Presbyterians answer that question in such a wonderful way that all the other Christian churches in the world steal it from us? It's true. The Westminster Confession, the very first question says, what is the chief purpose of humanity, of humankind, of men and women? What's the chief purpose? Why did God create us? And the answer that we give in our catechism is to know God and to enjoy him forever. And that's why you're here upon this earth. And that's what Jesus taught you. Now, here's a second aspect to the words of Jesus that I can tack right onto that. Jesus also teaches us that you and I, every human being on this planet, has rebelled against our loving Creator, and we've insulted him greatly, and we deserve to be tossed aside, but he loves us still. This God who created us, who we have disappointed and insulted and rebelled against, loves us still, says Jesus. And he's reaching out to us and is ready to forgive us of every wrong and every failure and every act of rebellion. That's what Jesus said. That's what he taught us. Now, when you read the Bible, you're going to notice that there are two primary words used to describe your and my condition outside of Christ. Number one is lost. You'll hear it over and over again in the New Testament. In fact, one of the most famous parables that Jesus told was about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Remember that? So lost is one term that describes you and me when God's not in our life. And the second term that the Bible uses may shock us, but the second term is death. You and I are dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, says St. Paul in his writings. We're dead to God. No relationship with him, no connection with him. That's what happened when we rebelled against him and, And Adam and Eve isn't the only one that did that. When we read the story of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, that's our story. That's our history. We're in rebellion against God. And we're lost. We've lost our meaning. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our significance. And we're wandering through life trying to find certain things that we think might bring meaning and purpose and significance into our lives. So we try this and it doesn't work, and we try that and it doesn't work, and we try this and it doesn't work. And on we go, and we'll never find anything that will bring us meaning and purpose and significance until we allow this loving Creator God into our lives. And we're dead. Remember when Jesus came? He said these very words. Listen. Luke 19:10. I came to seek and to save the lost. And then in this, John 10:10, I have come that you might have life abundantly. You see, that was his whole purpose for coming in. Because Jesus knew that when we rebelled against our Creator, we lost our meaning and our significance and our purpose. And we're wandering aimlessly through life. And we're dead to God. But he came to tell us that our Creator still loves us, and that our Creator reaches out to us, wants to restore the meaning and purpose and significance of our life, and he wants to raise us from our death and give us life. Do you feel lost this morning? Do you feel like life is meaningless and without any real purpose? Do you feel dead inside? I want you to know your loving Creator is reaching out to you. That's the word of Jesus. Well, let me mention one other thing quickly. There's so much more to the words of Jesus. But according to the words of Jesus, this Creator God, who loves you still and is reaching out to forgive you and to heal you, desires to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. Can you believe it? Our Creator, the Almighty that we sang about, actually wants to enter into an intimate relationship with you and me. He is not just content to forgive us of our waywardness. He's not just content to forgive us of our loss of meaning and significance and purpose. He will do that, but he wants to do more. He wants to bring you and me within his embrace and make us a part of his family and enter into a relationship with us. You know what that means? That means when you leave here today and you go back to face whatever it is you have to face that you're struggling with, you do not have to go alone. The God who created you and loves you will go with you and walk by your side. When Jesus said he wanted to give us life abundant, he was telling us very clearly that there's more to life than physical existence. There's a dimension of life that only our Creator can bring back to us. Now, you know and I know that if we're going to have a relationship with anybody, communication's the key. Communication is the key. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm smart enough to know that most relationships that begin to fall apart is because of a lack of communication. And you know the good thing is, not only did our Creator reach out to us and say, I want to have a relationship with you, but he's given us the means of good communication with him. In Scripture, he speaks to us. In prayer, we speak to him. And as we read his word and respond to him in prayer, we're communicating with our Creator who loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Here's the final thing. And this blows my mind. I hope it does yours. Jesus also tells us that this God who loves us and created us with meaning and purpose and who loves us still, even though we have rebelled against him and gone our own way, and reaches out to us and wants to include us in an intimate relationship with himself. But are you ready for this? Jesus told us that this God wants to spend all eternity with us. Not just this life. All eternity. That's what he wants for you and for me. Do you remember when Jesus spoke these words to his distraught disciples when he said, "Hey, I'm going away. I'm going away, but you'll find the way there, but I'm going away." And they went, "Oh my goodness, what are you talking about?" And then Jesus said this, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am forever." Now that's the word of Jesus. And you and I need to desperately slow down and quiet the clamoring voices of the world and listen to the word of Jesus. It's transformative. Let's pray. Oh God, let us hear your word today. Let us hear your word tomorrow and the day after and next week and next month. And may we pay more attention to your word than all the other words that are being spoken to us. Lord, we have gone astray. Maybe even this week we've blown it. And we came to church and we beat ourselves up. But we needed to be reminded by this Jesus, this our Lord and Savior, that God loves us still and is willing to forgive and cleanse and heal. And so God, do that for each of us. If we've blown it, encourage us. Let us know you haven't kicked us to the curb. Father, if we're facing a tough week and we're afraid we just might blow it as we go out into the world, give us the grace and the strength to hear your whisper of your love and acceptance, your mercy for each of us. We do not travel alone, O God, and we thank you so much. Would you continue in just a brief moment of silent reflection? Amen.